They covered everything. And then he spotted this one. To the unknown God. To the unknown God. Just in case we've missed anybody out. Jerome says in the 3rd century AD that it was actually an altar to cover the gods of Africa and elsewhere that they didn't know about. Just in case they had missed anybody out. So Paul does what he always does when he reaches any of these cities. He goes in first and brings the good news of Jesus Christ to the Jews. And after he's spoken in the synagogue, he then goes out into the marketplace and preaches on the streets. The older folks here will remember that we used to go out and preach in the streets. We don't tend to do it today. As a wee boy, I used to go out with my dad and the other folks in Bishop Briggs, and we would walk down to the cross, and there we would preach in the open air. And a Saturday night in Glasgow, right up until the early 70s, there used to be several street corners where there would be open air services on a Saturday night. But we don't do that much today. So Paul went into this marketplace, this large marketplace where goods would be getting sold, but also people would be preaching their philosophies. And so Paul started to present what he had to tell them. And two groups of philosophers challenged him, the Epicureans and the Stoics. The Epicureans followed the philosophy of Epicurus, whose philosophy was about pleasure in its truest sense when he wrote his philosophy. By the time Paul was there, it was utterly hedonistic, sensual, homosexual in its nature. They didn't believe in an immortal God. So it was very easy for the men just to enjoy themselves, to live, to enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The Stoics, on the other hand, they were people who actually believed in the immortality of the soul. We Christians are not peculiar in that concept, the immortality of the soul. The Greeks believed that widely, that the soul was immortal. But they also believed that fate controlled everything. They had this concept, which we Scots are renowned for, being very stoical, that we hold on to our problems, that we grip a hold of pain. In fact, one doctor in the past told me that it was a major problem getting people to really tell them. And my wife's just spent three and a half weeks in the IRH, and as one nurse said, she said, "We don't read minds." My wife's got a nasty habit of just living and coping with whatever happens to be there. And the Stoics were renowned for this. But again, you see, they believed in the immortality of the soul, but there really was no concept of a God of judgment and a God who would pronounce a sentence. So these men want to hear a little bit more of this, so they invite Paul to, any of you reading the authorized, well, to Mars Hill, large hill in the center of Athens. But it was actually known as the Areopagus. It was the High Court of Judiciary. For those who read ancient history, this was the court that Socrates was brought to and condemned. Paul had to stand on a stone when he got there. He had to stand on the stone of impudence and defend himself. But there's no suggestion in the scriptures that he was there actually to defend himself. There were no witnesses. It wasn't a trial, although this was used as the High Court of Judiciary. He was invited there to tell them about these foreign gods that he was talking about. So they thought that Jesus must be a God and resurrection must be a God. So we want to hear you telling us more about these gods. Who are they? Very smart man, Paul. He doesn't dive straight in. He commends them on the fact that they are very religious. He commends them for that fact, but then immediately proceeds to tell them that he's going to tell them about a God who doesn't live in temples made by hand. He's going to tell them about a God who is the creator of all things, heaven and earth, the universe, and that he created one man, and that from that one man all nations of the earth subsist. And he uses his great skills to make these people realize that there is a God who's created things and doesn't require gifts from the people whom he has created. And he certainly doesn't respond to altars which are made by man's hands. You see, we live in a world today where we've accepted that, well, every religion's just equal. Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, are all equal. Hindus present gifts to their gods and honestly believe that these gifts that they give to their gods will be beneficial to them. And Paul is at pains to tell these people, just for the sake of the young people, that is beliefs that which are existing in the town of Paisley and in Glasgow and in Greenock today. Hindus to this day make their gifts to their gods. I'm not talking now about something that's X thousand years old. I'm talking about something that's existent in our immediate society today. And we sit here today as people, I would suspect for the most part, who do not believe that.